my fingers bled was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit, Jody got married.
Summer of 69, Bryan Adams talking about Woodstock and Bethel Woods, where I was 2 weeks ago. It is 7:26. It's a beautiful Monday morning here in New York. It's about 80 degrees today. Sunny, not much humidity. Good day for a golf outing. We'll be out on Long Island later on tonight in Garden City. We got a big event, and we're excited about that. John Catsimatidis, the whole crew. But it is time for Rich Lowry. He's the editor for the National Review. He's on NBC all the time. Does a great job with our good buddy Chuck Todd. He writes for Politico. His columns, by the way, for his site syndicated all across the country. New York Post has many of his columns in that newspaper. He's that big and that talented, the great Rich Lowry. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm not too bad.
All right, good.
Crushed by the women's soccer defeat. I'm sure you are, too.
Yeah, I'm real crushed. No, you know, I tell you, the one that got me going last week was Simone Biles, and it just seems to me, whether it's LeBron James talking about BLM during the NBA Finals or all these athletes, they pick the grandest stage now to come out and make their point. For some reason, last week she was so distraught over Nashville she couldn't compete, but today she's okay. Today she can compete. I thought she quit on the team. I thought the lauding from certain networks was way over the top, congratulating her on quitting. And I just think her whole attitude during these Olympics should not be applauded. In fact, her timing, to me, is very suspicious.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she – I've never wear this phrase before, lost in the air, where you don't know where you are when you're twirling around three times, you know, 20 feet in the air. So,
but wait a second. Wait. When Troy Aikman plays a football game and he's got 22 concussions, he can die too, but he showed up every Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, it was different to fall directly on your head, perhaps. So, I don't know. Maybe it was a prudent and correct thing, but I agree with you. It's not the most courageous thing we've ever seen in sports to not show up and to quit. Even if it's right, it shouldn't be celebrated in and of itself. And people are way over the top with that. And it's a symptom of our age, where these, you know, who is the female tennis player who stepped aside? She didn't want to talk to the media.
Naomi Osaka.
Was celebrated. You know, it's like Lou Gehrig, you know, playing in the consecutive games, or Hank Aaron, you know, breaking Babe Ruth's record or something. Come on.
So, Rich Lowry, listen, you wrote a very insightful column over the weekend. Excuse me. And it had to do with our esteemed President Biden, that he's not making an impact. He's not, for example, he showed up at a town hall meeting in CNN, couldn't fill half an auditorium. And you pointed out a few other things. It was insightful. Please tell us about it.
Well, it's just very weird. You know, I titled the column "The President Who Isn't There." Most presidents make maximum use of the bully pulpit. They try to be at the forefront of the nation's attention, dominate the political arena, and push their agenda forward that way. And Biden, you know, shows up maybe somewhere once a day. And I think this is a deliberate strategy in part. Probably, you know, they want to play up the contrast with Trump, but that also there's a question of his energy and capability. You know, I don't think he's an Alzheimer's patient. At that CNN town hall, he was able to stand there for an hour and answer most of the questions. But there were a few moments really concerning. There was one 30-second riff there where he couldn't get his train of thought at all. So clearly they want to limit his exposure that way. And it's just really – it's really weird. I mean, it may work for him. I think it if some other more in-your-face president were pushing the kind of spending he is, there'd probably be more of a reaction against it. But it's not the kind of presidency we're used to. Not just with Donald Trump, but even with Barack Obama or George W. Bush.
Well, just to give Rich Lowry a little credit, he wrote some clever analogies. He's the Olympic badminton competition after a WWE match. He's elevator music after a heavy metal concert. He's the sparkler after a fireworks display.
That's funny.
So yeah, he's the Rosie O'Donnell after you know Gisele Bündchen is out on the runway or whatever.
But I will say this: we were having these same complaints during the when he ran against Trump. You know, he was like hiding in the basement. Trump was doing 19 rallies a day, and you just said maybe it works for him. Well, unless you believe the whole election was rigged, which it may have very well been, but if you don't believe that's the case, it worked for him then. And if you don't believe, if you believe the polls right now, it's working for him now. So
yeah,
I think he has to do this.
Yeah, yeah, right. It may be the only thing available to him. That's exactly right. And this is where the risk may come, though. Eventually, there's going to be some crisis where he really needs to seem in control and rally the country. It happens to every president at some point, usually unpredictable. And if and when that happens, is he up for that? I think it's an open question.
It's a very open question. Listen, one of the things Joe Biden said last week was that people who don't get vaccinated are, he said they're not as smart as he thought they were. They were stupid, in other words. And it turns out that the demographic with the lowest vaccination rate is black people. Black people, and then second is Latinos. And also, by the way, you have the border wide open. We won't even get into that. But this latest mixed messaging, he's getting slaughtered on the mixed messaging coming out of his own White House, his own CDC. And Bill O'Reilly says this may be the tipping point for people to turn against the Biden administration. What do you say to all that?
Well, the messaging on the masking last week is confused. The thinking is confused. The data is being stretched. They're basing it on an event in Provincetown, a famous party town, you know, for gay men. Over July 4th, they had this outbreak, and I just don't think you can extrapolate from that to the rest of the country. Because as various writers who know about Provincetown have pointed out, you know, there are a lot of guys standing around in really crowded bars and discos and, you know, maybe making out. And that's just not happening in the most of the rest of America. And it's just true that vaccinated people can have the breakthrough cases. It's fairly rare. And it's true that they can spread it to unvaccinated people once they've gotten it. But that's relatively rare. And they almost never are hospitalized or die. So sure, if you're vaccinated and you have vulnerable unvaccinated people at home, be a little more cautious. But the idea that everyone everywhere who's vaccinated needs to mask up again indoors is absurd, and people aren't going to abide by it, and they shouldn't abide by it. And I think we've had these huge debates over mandates and lockdowns for understandable reasons over the last year and a half. But basically what's happened is people have made their own decisions. And when they're frightened and they don't want to deal with the risk, they've been more cautious, and then when they think the risk is lower, they've gone out there. So, yeah. And I think that'll continue to happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned the Provincetown and the gay guys. The other study was 100 people in India who got the AstraZeneca vaccine, which we don't even use in this country. They base this these new mandates on. Ridiculous. Take it away, Sam.
Yeah, and the press coverage was so alarmist. Even the Biden White House anonymously is pushing back, saying, "Guys, you're being too dire. You're misinterpreting the data." So when even they say the press is over the top, that tells you something.
Last one, when I was growing down in Boca for all that time, many, many years, couldn't get back to New York, no matter how hard I tried. I got to know this kid in Coral Springs, had Hodgkin's disease, but he was a local hero. They loved him, and he was drafted by the Padres or the Red Sox, I forget. And he goes on to have this amazing career with the Cubbies. He's on a team that wins the World Series for the first time in like 100 years. And now he's on the Yanks, and he helped power the Yankees to a sweep over the Marlins this weekend. How beautiful is this Anthony Rizzo to the Yankees story for you, Rich?
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, and how about having a couple left-handed power hitters playing in Yankee Stadium? Who would have thought of that? I don't know why it took years for Brian Cashman to come up with that idea. But, yeah, he'll cool off. But the first three games have been pretty cool. Love the way he plays.
Yep.
That's awesome that you know him.
I do know him very, very well. In fact, his best friend down there, Jordan Brown, was my intern in Miami for 3 years. So.
Yeah, wow.
Anyway, you're great. We love having you on. You really are great. So thank you for this Monday morning conversation. Enjoy the week. We'll talk again next Monday.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks.
All right. I got you.
Hey, Rich, by the way, you didn't text me. I'm waiting for you to text me. So
I am. I'm gonna text you when you're done with the show.
All right, text me today.
You're gonna meet in Provincetown.
That's right. All right, the great Rich Lowry on Bernie and Sid, and we got more work to do this hour, don't we?
Traffic and sports coming up next. Right now, it is time for the 77 WABC clip of the day. Listen to Katz's Roundtable every Sunday morning, starting at 8:30 here. John talks with General David Petraeus about Afghanistan.
With us this morning is General Petraeus. There's been rumors that things are not going so well over there in Afghanistan. And a lot of Americans say that maybe we shouldn't have left some people there. Give us your opinion.
Well, I have noted since the announcement of the decision to withdraw that I feared that we would come to regret the decision to withdraw our forces. The security situation has deteriorated. The Taliban has quite swiftly taken control of a good number of the districts in Afghanistan. There's fighting on the outskirts, even of major cities. The situation is very concerning.
Very concerning.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
Just talking to Rich Lowry about Anthony Rizzo. What a weekend for the former Chicago Cub for the Yanks. Yankees came back yesterday. They beat the Marlins to complete the sweep. 3-1, the final score. And once again, newly acquired Anthony Rizzo came up big.
Line drive, a base hit to left field, and that'll tie the score. Gardner comes home. It's a 1-1 game. And Rizzo's first weekend as a Yankee continues to glimmer.
That's our good buddy Michael Kay, Yes Network on the call. Aaron Judge followed that up with the go-ahead RBI single, and the Yankees beat the Marlins by a final score of 3-1. Good start for Jordan Montgomery. The Yanks get the sweep, as I said. They improved to 56-48. Right now they are 7 back of Joseph Abboud's division-leading Boston Red Sox, and the Yanks will host the Baltimore Orioles in the Bronx later on tonight. The Mets, not so good. They got battered by the Cincinnati Reds 7-1. They got one run, a Jeff McNeil home run. We're not going to play it. Javi Baez, who the Mets got from the Cubs, 0-4, although I like that deal. Marcus Stroman, he took the loss for the Mets. The Mets are still in first place, though. 3.5 game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies, and they start a series, I should say, in Miami later on tonight against those same Derek Jeter, Miami Marlins. Jeter, by the way, said this weekend he loves Aaron Judge. And finally, Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers turned down a $36 million option. Chris Paul, Phoenix Suns, he turned down a $44 million option. We're in the wrong business, Pern. We're in the wrong business. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at the bottom of the hour, I'm Sid.
In certain circles, and it always makes me smile.
John Waite, missing you. It's pretty good, right? 7:44 on your Monday morning. For what it's worth, we started today's program 75 minutes ago, railing about what happens on a Monday morning here. Everything's gone. And I've accused just about everybody of stealing everything from bowls to spoons. Bernie has put together a suspect list, which is larger than the roster for the Yanks. But I will tell you.
but as stellar, too. It's all the personalities.
Big-time personalities.
Big shots.
But, you know, folks get, they love this type of stuff. They love it. So on my Instagram, @Rosenberg.Sydney, I've got a ton of direct messages. And right now, the leader in the clubhouse, and I use that term because later on tonight, me and Bernie are going to be at a golf tournament for the company in Garden City, Long Island. I'll be actually auctioning off some really cool stuff tonight. The leader in the clubhouse is Frankie Russo. Oh! They're saying Frankie is a guy guilty of all this
pilfering.
Well,
you know, truth be told, it's a matter of resupply.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't hold any of these personalities or staff.
Oh, I would for sure.
Why? What, are they going to steal spoons?
Yes, 100%.
All right.
My grandmother did it. I think I've done it.
Bro.
I used to steal printer paper from FAN years ago.
Well, if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
You knew this. Rich Lowry alluded to it. The women's soccer team lost to Canada.
So happy.
1-0.
So happy.
They didn't score any points.
Losers.
Are they 0-2 now, or they won a game? They lost to Sweden.
They won one game.
So they're 1-2.
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
That is great.
What's Megan Rapinoe saying these days?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Nothing. She's saying squat.
Ain't going to be no ticket tape parade this time around. But that's the last. Well, I shouldn't say that. We had the one for the first responders. That was deserved about a couple of weeks ago. But before that, the last ticket tape parade were these ungrateful ladies.
You know, there are some people who say, yeah, you still have to support the soccer team because they're representing the United States. No, we don't. Absolutely do not. It's ridiculous.
Well, those are the scumbags.
Thank you, Maxine Waters. Those are the same people that say, and I mean this, that you have to love somebody because they're your family. And I got to tell you, I got cousins and members of my family that I don't love. I love them.
Listen.
Just because they're related? Like Bernie to honestly, me is more important than a lot of members of my family.
Well, that's very
I mean,
nice.
I mean that
thank
sincerely.
You. Thank you. But that's the reason. Similarly with professional sports, I root for individuals. I know you root for the laundry.
I do.
I root for individuals. And like, for example, you mentioned Tony Rizzo. He's tearing it up. I saw him interviewed. He's the sweetest kid going.
Sweetest.
Just a nice, nice young man.
Cancer survivor.
I may actually root for the Yankees in the end because of guys like Tony Rizzo. Who's the other dude? Gallo.
Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo. I may. Listen, his dad got whacked down in Umberto's.
That's not true, but go with that.
He had a traumatized upbringing, and I may. But in other words, I root for individuals. So if you have a bunch of, as Maxine Waters called them.
Scumbags.
Playing for the women's soccer team.
Stay woke!
I don't care if they're waving. They're not even waving the American flag. They're spitting on it.
I agree with
you. That's why I'm rooting against them.
Who's rooting for Gwen Berry?
These people are sick.
And these people bunch of ingrate, selfish, ingrate, ignorant morons who don't know how damn good they have it.
Right?
It's absolutely embarrassing. Listen, speaking of which, this country is a very, very generous, generous country. And I mentioned this to, I mentioned it before Rich Lowry. We didn't actually talk to him about it, but this this rent moratorium, this is a big deal because it affects a lot of people, a lot of you're a landlord. I know a lot of people who are landlords. I have my brother-in-law is a landlord.
In New York?
In New York, okay. In Queens. In fact,
I'm in Florida,
20
obviously.
Blocks from where the gang shooting went down in Corona, Queens.
Oh, my God.
He owns a bunch of stuff there and lives there as well with his El Salvadoran immigrant wife.
Oh, your sister-in-law.
Yes.
She loves Donald Trump.
Loves Trump. She was at the there on January 6th.
Yes.
So anyway, they're camping out in front of the Congress, and they're blaming Pelosi. They're blaming Biden. They're blaming everybody. And they knew it was coming down a pike for a long time, this expiration. This is how incompetent these Democrats are. They're just really, really incompetent. Anyway, this one dude, Jamal Bowman, he's a real racist, a communist, a lowlife, and he's down there
bad
as well.
Guy, bad guy, very not, bad guy.
Not very smart either. Listen to what he said.
Don't get the vaccine.
People who are in danger of being evicted, they don't care about all these rules and policies and procedures. They want to stay in their home, period.
They don't care about the rules and procedures. Well, they better start caring about the rules.
Idiots.
That's what life is all about, rules and procedures. Jeez. Get your ass up. There are more jobs available than there are people to fill them.
You what's the matter with you?
Sitting at home on your ass watching cartoons or whatever it is, sports, or who knows. Just get up and go to work. It's out there for you. I mean, Amazon's been hiring through the whole pandemic, for God's sakes.
I always get asked this question, and I could point to our fearless leader, our owner, John Catsimatidis. He's a legitimate multi-billionaire. That's nothing. I'm not breaking news. Legitimate multi-billionaire. And that guy's here every day, and he comes early and he stays late. I'm always asked that question: if you were like if you won the lottery tomorrow and won $100 million, would you want to come to work? You know what you're saying? Just get up and go to work. And my answer is no. I want to watch SpongeBob SquarePants and go to the gym and just walk around the park aimlessly for hours and hours.
So good.
But but I don't have that opportunity, so I have to get up every morning and do what I love, which is working with you and coming to the station.
Well, speaking of lazy Democrats, one who is bereft of any concept of irony is the very stupid Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah. On this issue, she wasn't camping out in front of the Congress. No, she was home in a luxury apartment. But she did go on the Sunday shows yesterday, and one of the things she said was this.
There were many, and there was frankly a handful of conservative Democrats in the House that threatened to get on planes rather than hold this vote.
Conservative Democrats threatening to get on planes and not hold this vote. What did the Democrats do in Texas? That's exactly what they did.
They ran away.
That's right. They were liberal Democrats, and they ran away.
Yeah.
They didn't threaten not to hold a vote. They didn't hold a vote. So, what's good for,
the goose is good for the gander.
I'm not going to repeat that.
I'm not sure what that means.
There's this brilliant guy. He writes for the Washington Post. You see him on Fox News a lot. His name is Mark Thiessen.
He's good.
Very smart guy.
Very
on
good.
This issue, he summed it up very, very nicely, very astutely. You know what? Let's play the New York City landlord. First, the New York City landlord, this guy actually has tenants. Listen to him, and he's black. You can't victimize a black man. He's the landlord. This is what he said.
My home that I have now, it turned into an investment property, and I plan to pass it on to my kids. But that dream is it's gone now because of the simple fact that I'm too far behind in arrears to even complete that or even get to that concept. Well, I'm owed over $65,000. My tenant hasn't paid since August of 2019, and I know that I can sue or go through litigation in court, but I do not expect any of that money.
So there you go. I mean, he had a plan. He had a master plan. The pandemic hit, and now it's time. It's time to start paying up. Stop being a deadbeat and pay up. Now, again, the guy Mark Thiessen, he summed the whole thing up very articulate. That's how we'll wrap this up. Listen to him.
I mean, look, it's time to stop paying people not to work, and it's time to stop letting people live in other people's properties rent-free, which is what these policies are doing. When the moratorium was created, it was in the time when the government was shutting down the economy and pushing people out of their jobs, and we wanted to make sure that people weren't pushed out of their homes at the same time. Today, there are a record 9.3 million unfilled jobs in America, and 48% of employers say that they have jobs that they want to fill that they can't fill. So anybody who wants a job can get a job. And at the same time, if you want people to take advantage of the rental assistance, which is a good program, having an eviction moratorium means that there's no incentive to do it. If you can't be evicted from your home, you have no incentive to pay your back rent.
Checkmate AOC.
So I saw a story, great stuff. I saw a story about Osama bin Laden today that reminds me of David Berkowitz. Think about that for a second. That's two worlds apart, I should say. Osama bin Laden and David Berkowitz. I'm going to tell you why their stories are similar, especially their captures on the Monday edition.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABCF simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM, and also live stream on WABCRadio.com. You can watch us. You can see what we're doing here and what kind of hairstyles we are affecting this morning. Probably the same one we did last Friday. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, a violent weekend in New York City. We're going to talk to former NYPD Chief Joe Esposito, also Peter King later in the show. But a lieutenant was killed, God forbid, shot in the ankle, subduing a perp, a bunch of cops subduing a perp with a gun, believe it or not, on a Friday night up in the BX. And we have audio of it. I have a question after I play the audio. I'm going to ask the question now. Why didn't they just shoot this guy before he shot them? Take a listen.
He's reaching for it. He's reaching for it. He's reaching for it, Lou.
He's reaching for it, man. Stop reaching for it. Stop reaching for it.
Lou, you got his hand?
To Louis.
Oh,
boom. Dude, cop gets shot.
Stop.
So the cops are at the point where Perp is reaching for a gun, then gets it and uses it and shoots a cop, and he's still alive. I'm sorry. He should have been shot. He should have. That's how intimidated the poor police are. That's how bad it is out there that they're bending over backwards. They're taking bullets instead of using bullets to protect themselves, which is well within their rights as police officers. They should be able to. And then you had massive, they call it a mass shooting. It's gang violence. A bunch of mutts ran down a street in Corona, Queens, and I think it was 98th Street between 37th and 38th Avenue. And not far from Jackson Heights, ladies and gentlemen, very close. But either way, they rolled down the block and they started shooting. They only got three intended victims. Seven were innocent bystanders, so that's 10 people shot. Now, Eric Adams was out there, Curtis Sliwa. Oh, by the way, the mayor, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found all weekend long since he was playing volleyball on Friday. He's going to come out of his reefer-induced haze today to tell you to wear a mask. But anyway, Eric Adams, he said this about the shooting.
We need the anti-gun unit, plainclothes unit, to send a message that we're going to have the element of uncertainty with the element of omnipresent. I say let's reinstate this unit.
I don't know. He sounds kind of weak to me. He sounds very weak, Eric Adams. But to Curtis Lewa, he sounds strong.
There has to be stop and frisk. If you're not stopping and frisking these young men who are at war with one another, you're guaranteeing that more of them are going to come out with loaded handguns, with 9mm, and start popping shots.
Yeah, and of course he's right. Stop and frisk, the dreaded, there's a taboo on the stop and frisk. The most effective tactic that saved so many black lives, so many lives in this city. And Curtis also, you know, lenient judges, DAs, no cash bail law. Everybody knows. It's repetitious at this point. But we'll talk to Chief, former Chief Esposito, and also Peter King on the Bernie and Sid Show.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Poor CNN, their ratings are so far down in the toilet that they can't stop talking about Donald Trump in hopes that it'll bring their ratings back up. Brian Stelter, rather than talking about the Delta variant or the other issues facing the world, like Christians being persecuted in Africa or the Muslim Uyghurs being killed and currently a genocide happening in China. What about maybe even Simone Biles? Anything, but he had to like dedicate almost his entire show this Sunday morning to Donald Trump. And once again, he called him a cult leader. And he had on with him Representative Jackie Speier. If you remember, she was shot 5 times in an airstrip in Guyana back in 1978 while accompanying a lawmaker to investigate the Jonestown cult. So first, take a listen to hear Brian Stelter pose the question as he's introducing Representative Speier.
These citizens in other countries sometimes email me and say, you know, why doesn't the American media just call out Trump for what he is, call Trump fandom for what it is? Sometimes they use the word cult. I know that's a sensitive word. It doesn't come up a lot in American news coverage. So I wanted to put it to an expert, an unfortunate expert.
And that unfortunate expert, again, is Representative Jackie Speier, shot 5 times, airstrip. And if you remember Jonestown back in November 18th, 1978, 909 Americans drank poison at the direction of Jim Jones. And so they're comparing Donald Trump to Jim Jones, but here's ridiculous. The inconsistency among the many inconsistencies. Jim Jones preached socialist and progressive ideas to a predominantly African-American congregation. But anyway, take a listen to hear Representative Jackie Speier, her response to Stelter and Trump being called Jim Jones, basically.
The only difference between Jim Jones and Donald Trump is the fact that we now have social media. So all these people can find themselves in ways that they couldn't find themselves before.
Oh, come on. I mean, this guy Jim Jones was having sex with the kids of these people. Now, what happened was Speier and some other political officials went out there because they heard that he was abusing people, killing people, having sex with people. And when they found out that it was all true and they were getting back on their airplane to go back to the United States and come back and bring charges against them, he had them slaughtered right there by the airplane. She survived, but the other politicians did not. And then, before they got back, he made sure they all killed themselves. So the comparisons to Donald Trump are ridiculous, insulting, and quite frankly, nauseating.
Well,
it's gross.
It's absurd. Obviously, their intent, what they're trying to do is smear Trump supporters and Trump himself. Look, if Ron DeSantis had done and fought the way Donald Trump did, we'd all be all in 100%, 1,000% for Ron DeSantis. It's the same thing. It's the principles. It's the arguments he made, again, bucking the PC culture and all that stuff. People like a strong leader. That's all there is to it. You can call it a cult and to try to demean people and smear people. So that's A. But B, as you point out, Lydia, I mean, Donald Trump is the big topic on Sunday morning. We got a million things going on. We got people getting killed by the tens of thousands. You got this, they're about to clamp down with all these, repeat the mistakes of the past 18 months again. And that's what they're focusing on, is Donald Trump?
I mean, We're having drive-by shootings like we've never seen before in Corona, Queens alone, with 10 people were shot. The gang wars are breaking out all over the country, and he's obsessed with talking about Trump. And then what this Representative Spire doesn't realize is she's being played, she's being used.
She realizes
clearly
it.
It's so ridiculous.
She knows it. She should know better. She knows what happened there. It's disgusting.
But she also is a wacky, of course, Trump derangement syndrome victim herself.
Here's the bottom line. They know Trump is out there. Whether he runs in 2024 or just serves as a cheerleader for the midterms and the next election, he's out there. He is in their way. He's got the real chance of winning again. So before they can get comfortable discussing their own issues, here's this big, big elephant in the room that may very well take back what they just got. And it scares the hell out of them. And by the way, it should, because while they're doing a terrible job here, the possibility of Donald Trump coming back and getting back where he was gets bigger and bigger every day.
And they can't find anything on him whatsoever. Tax return, nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing sticks, nothing whatsoever, because he's done nothing wrong. And he's got that, you know, I mean, he's got that complete F-U money, if you will, that F-U mentality. Yeah. He's got nothing to lose, nothing at all.
No.
And by the, I don't know if any of you saw this, this Joe Biden thing. He was speaking on Friday. And it was on a Zoom call, and he had something on his chin. So somebody sent him a note in the middle of it, and it's all on tape. It's all on videotape, and it says, "Sir, you have something on your chin." So eventually, he turns the card around and uses it as a notepad, showing what it said to all the reporters. It's clear to see. You'll see it on the videotape, on the pictures, the stills, the screen grabs. But what he does is he wipes the thing from his chin and then slowly puts it in his mouth and eats it.
Oh,
and it turns out it was egg.
It wasn't a booger?
So no. Well, it could have been. You know what? Maybe. It was yellow.
You know, my daughter sometimes...
He literally had egg on his face.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. Sometimes my daughter, she's 4, and I catch her picking her nose and then eating it sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's little, all little
well,
kids do
but
that.
But she's 4.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But she's 4. This is the president of the United States. That's the big difference here. Because everyone's like, oh, you're being too hard on him, this and that. And it's like... He's the president of the United States. Why is he eating crumbs or boogers or God only knows what else off his face? It's so ridiculous.
How about grabbing a napkin or giving him a napkin or something, whatever. Sir, you have something on your chin. And he didn't know what to do. It's just another example. I mean, the guy is a total imbecile, and that's our leader. What are you going to do? That's our guy.
If I was CNN, if I was Brian Stelter, I would be begging the news gods for Trump to come back into office, because it's the only way to help them in the ratings, because they are so far down. They've gone down like 70-80%. And I guarantee you in about 4 days, you'll see on August 6th, every single show will be highlighting the fact that it's now been 8 months since the insurrection on January 6th, because they have nothing to talk about. Because if they press Biden, if they criticize his policies, you saw the 1,000 migrants that showed up at the border just over the weekend. Then again, they'll have egg on their face because they said that Biden was going to be the savior. So they can't go around and criticize him for all the failed policies. So then all they have to hang their hat on is to continuously try to criticize Trump or his supporters in order to bring their ratings up. It's pretty sad, actually.
Yeah, between crime, inflation, the border, and now the latest a pandemic disaster. He promised that everybody would be vaccinated by July 4th. He gave a certain number, didn't make the goal, obviously. And a lot of it is because of what him and the idiot who is his vice president, what's her name? Kamala. Yeah, that one. They were talking down the vaccine prior to the election big time. Hey, if it's Donald Trump's vaccine, I ain't taking that. Do you think anybody listened to him? Probably not, but let's blame them anyway. I mean, nobody listens to those fools. But yeah, so there's a lot of disasters that the media does not want to focus on when it comes to this clown and his son. It's this sleazebag, seedy, disgusting son, all that stuff. They want to ignore
Hunter,
all
you're
of
a loser.
You are a loser and a freaking slime bag on top of everything else.
Well, there you have it. I don't know what else to add.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, guys.
Lydia Serrano.
No sponsor today.
Oh, I
no
see.
Sponsor
okay.
today.
Yeah,
no
well,
sponsor today.
I'll bet. So, listen, you can check Lydia out at 4 o'clock every day on 77 WABC. She is terrific, better than the competition. And again, at 5 o'clock with Cats at Night, Lydia Saranen.
Little dirty laundry for you, folks. That's how they found Osama bin Laden. If you believe that one. Folks, go to WABCRadio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of us. We are Bernie and Sid in the Morning, the best talk show in New York by far. 77 WABC. Register now and good luck. You know what? Talking about Osama bin Laden, our next guest is a guy that me and Bernie both really like. He spent the better part of 14 years as the chief of police here between 2000 and 2013, and then spent about 6 years running all of the emergency management here in New York. And he took over as chief of police in 2000, so he was really new on the job 2001 with the attacks. And now we come up in, now it's less than a month away, about a month away, I should say, from the 20-year commemoration. I know Frank Siller, he's going to join us every Friday on his walk, Tunnel to Towers. So I got to ask you, Joe Esposito, does it feel like 20 years?
You know, good morning, guys. It's always good to be on the show. You know, it feels like 20 years, and it feels like yesterday. It depends on the day and depends on what you're thinking about.
Do you feel, you know, Bo Dietl always talks about this. He's always saying, listen, the next one is coming. But he's been saying that for years, and thank God, because of the police work and our intelligence, and we're just great at what we do here in the United States, it hasn't happened again. But do you feel that another attack, maybe not that size, but similar, is still on the way?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Why no doubt about it? Why do you say that?
Our enemies have very good memories, and they are very patient. And unfortunately, we don't have very good memories. We tend to let things start sliding. I mean, look, after 9/11, security companies were doing some crazy business. Everybody was looking for this. The safeguards were in. That's all declining a little by little. It's all declining. We're getting very just back into the old way of doing business. And that's what our enemies are looking for.
Yes, excuse me, former new NYPD chief Joe Esposito on the Bernie and Sid Show. Chief Esposito, I have to ask you about the crime, of course. That's why we're having you on, and that is the shootings, the killings, the murders. We actually had a NYPD detective, excuse me, lieutenant, shot up in the Bronx when the guy was reaching for the gun. And to me, the cops had ample time to shoot the perp, but they didn't do it. They allowed the cop to get shot before they shot him. In any case, we know what the problems are. No cash bail laws. The lack of the anti-crime units, the lenient judges, the lenient DAs. But I'd be interested to hear your perspective overall on this horrible crime rise in New York City.
Well, you get what you pay for. You know, again, memories. We have very short memories. Some of us have very short memories. We forget about what this city was like. We forget about what got us to be the safest city in America. It's all those little tools put together. And little by little, the electeds in this city, the city council, the mayor, the governor, all of them, they all just started chipping away at the tools that the police need to do the job. So you get what you pay for. I mean, look, you know, you talk about shootings and homicides, but what about knives? There's more stabbings and slashings than ever. You know why? Because they made carrying a knife legal.
Yep.
You shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you have a problem with over-policing something, then address the over-policing. Don't take that rule away that prevents the cops from doing their job. So the next mayor is going to have a big problem because it's not just saying, okay, officers, go out and do your job. It's getting those tools back for them.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the next mayor hopefully is the guy I'm watching right now as we're speaking to you, Joe, and that's Curtis Sliwa. He's on as we speak with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business talking about how he's hosting a press conference in Queens today about the crime. But, see, when you were there, Joe, you were surrounded by great folks, Rudy Giuliani and Bernie Kerik and even Governor Pataki. Now we got a bunch of louses from the mayor to the governor to the city council. So the question is, do you have confidence that either Eric Adams or Curtis Sliwa can really save this city?
Well, I think we've narrowed it down to the two best candidates on either side of, you know, the Democrats or Republicans. They're both street guys. They both come up. They're both New York, real New Yorkers. They come up from the streets. They know the problems, and they're saying the right things. Now, can they do it? if their mindset is to do it, well, they've got to get the rest of the elected officials to do it. They can't do it by themselves. So this next mayor is going to have a very difficult time.
Former NYPD chief Joe Esposito on the Bernie and Sid show. Chief Esposito, also a 9/11 hero, as Sid pointed out earlier. And also, he's the man once given the green light by Mayor Bloomberg. He cleaned out Zuccotti Park in a matter of hours. Remember, it was infested by all those lice-infested whatever they were, just lowlives. Anyway, Chief, I want to play this clip of the lieutenant getting shot in the ankle. I want to ask you a question about it on the other side. You can actually hear them saying, don't reach for the gun, don't reach for the gun, and then you hear the shot. Listen to this.
He's reaching for it. He's reaching for it. He's reaching for it, man. Stop reaching for it. Stop reaching for it.
Lou, you got his hand?
To Lewis.
Oh,
pop shot.
He's reaching. Stop. Get off.
Put it over line, please.
No, he's reaching.
Put it over 85, guys.
I can't. Move.
So my question to you, Chief, is they had ample time. They saw what he was doing, what he was going for. Would they have been within their rights to shoot him before they before he shot them?
Well, if they see him with a handgun, yeah, he's starting to draw it, without a doubt. They're justified in shooting him. But you've got to understand, that sounds like a very close combat situation. They're worried about shooting themselves. They're worried about shooting each other. They're worried about shooting innocent people. So it sounds like they had him, and when they got him, now he's still reaching for it. Very, very delicate situation. You don't want to fire rounds in close proximity to your partners or civilians. So, you know, it's tough to second guess officers when they're doing a job like that.
You know, I mentioned earlier Bernie Kerik, and he was the commissioner when you were the chief back in 2001 during 9/11. And all you guys certainly did heroic, courageous work. And to this day, you're celebrated, and you should be, Joe, quite frankly, for the rest of your lives. I'm not sure about the last couple of guys. Bernie and I had a big issue with Jimmy O'Neill. You know, not as big with Dermot Shea, but I'm not exactly sure. You were a big-time guy in that position. Is Dermot Shea a good police commissioner?
They both are. You know, O'Neill and Shea both. They're street guys. They were up from the Bronx, upper Manhattan. They know how to fight crime, and they did fight crime. They were precinct commanders, very effective when they were in that role. But you got to realize, you're at the top spot. You got to deal with the electeds, and it rolls downhill. And
so why would anybody want that? I mean, if you really were passionate and really pissed off about this city, but you knew at the end of the day that you couldn't really anger de Blasio or Cuomo, why would anybody want that job?
Well, because you do good. You know, look, as you said, I was the chief for 13 years. There are days when I say, why am I doing this anymore? Why am I doing this? But then you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I did something good for somebody today. I helped somebody. I helped the police department feel good. I helped the public. We got something done. And you just take a deep breath and you go on.
You know, I hear more retired cops say that. I asked them that very question. Exactly what you just said there. A former NYPD chief Joe Esposito on the Bernie and Sid show. Chief, and you are old school, and you have nothing to lose, of course. This buffoon that we have as mayor, he was last seen on Friday playing a volleyball at Orchard Beach. Didn't show up when the cop was shot at the hospital. Dermot Shea was there. Didn't show up after the 10 people killed in Queens. Nowhere to be seen all weekend long. What do you make of this guy? And please don't pull your punches.
It's funny you say that. My wife is sitting next to me.
And be careful, Joe. Don't be stupid, Joe.
You know, maybe you want to talk to her and not be on.
Yeah, put her on. Let's go.
Go ahead. Here she is.
No. You don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I would love it.
But listen. But listen. He gave me the job of emergency management. You know, that was one of the best jobs I ever had. He also fired me from it. Yeah. Probably two of the best decisions he ever made was hiring me.
And by the way, but they not just fired you, but, and this still angers me and Bernie to this day, he was the one, along with Garcia, that really effed up that snow day back in November 3 years ago, and they dropped that on your lap. That still pisses us off.
You were out of town.
Yes.
Who could have expected a sudden storm? Nobody did.
But not only fired you, but had no problem throwing you under the bus. You weren't even here.
You know, I don't even know if that was the real reason. You know, no one's ever really told me
reason. For my told you.
Okay, you guys know better than me, I guess.
So De Blasio, go, yeah, take a, you know, how bad?
Well, listen, he's only got a few months left. He's probably relieved that he's not going to be the mayor anymore.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah.
He's just taking it for a ride right now. Well, he was probably away for the weekend. What can I tell you? But you know what? Not to show up when a cop is shot, that's very, very bad.
Him.
Come on.
That's him.
I've never heard of that before.
I have two vivid memories of Bill de Blasio, never showing up when a cop is shot in New York, and the three people standing outside an Arby's in Las Vegas when he made his very substantial presidential run.
And when the cops turned their backs on him.
That one, too.
In 2014. Yeah.
Hey, Joe, you really
are. I'm interested to see what's in his future, where he goes after
January. I think television. What do you think?
I think he's going to get some job with people that raise money and you know, so he'll do something with the Democratic Party. Probably.
Right.
I say mayor of Havana.
Yeah,
he does love it there. He loves it there. Hey, Joe, you're great. We love having you on, and we consider you a good friend and a hero. And we love your wife, too, by the way. Good morning to her.
We're going to book her next time.
Right.
I'm here.
All right. We love you both, Espositos. Have a great day, and thank you for hopping on with Bernie and Sid. Okay, folks?
Thanks. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Take care, guys. That is the Espositos. It's my new TV show. How about that, the Espositos?
I love it.
Isn't that great?
He's not
afraid to talk. She's not afraid to talk.
No, definitely not. No, the real good Americans.
Right.
Good straight-up New Yorkers.
They should be on Saturdays on Newsmax, the Espositos. Right after Diamond and Silk. All right, we got still to come, Congressman Peter King, who finally, moments ago, made it out of the state of North Carolina after leaving very early this morning. Both of his grandkids with major competitions. We'll talk to Peter coming up at 9:25. And, of course, your chance at $100 with Beat Bernie comes your way at 9:40.
When the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women.
You got women on your mind. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Have a drink, have a drive. Go out and see what you can find.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have great news, very good news. Well, actually, I don't know if it's great news. Well, the women's soccer team lost to, I don't know who they lost to, but they lost Canada. It was to Canada. They lost 1-0. That's very good news.
Losers.
That's right, President Trump. Losers. Nobody says like he does. But also, the first transgender Olympian has, completely flopped, is out of the weightlifting competition in the first go-round. And this is what the New York Post writes. Hubbard, who made history as the first transgender athlete to compete at the Olympics, a.k.a. the first man to compete in female sports, was eliminated after failing to record a single lift in 3 attempts in Monday's whatever the hell. And then it goes on to say the New Zealand native missed her first lift at 120 kilograms in the snatch. Now, I don't know if they're being wise guys with this or what. But either way, I was hoping that this creep would actually win the gold, because then it would highlight really just how absurd the whole thing is, because obviously this person squeezed out a couple of females, but that's not going to happen. This person is 43 years old, when the average age of female weightlifters in the Olympics is 22, 23 years old. I wonder why a 43-year-old woman, right, quote-unquote woman, can compete against 22 and 23-year-olds. Oh, I get it. It's a man. It's a biological man.
I just try to keep it real.
Yeah, babe. Now I get it. Now I understand. I answered my own question, babe. So anyway, you have that. And also there was one of the Olympians actually raised their arms over the weekend.
I did see that. Yeah.
In protest.
X, yeah.
Isn't that not allowed? She kick her ass out of the Olympics,
I believe, because early on, I remember it had to be when they announced that the games were going to go on this year, that they said that any political, stances was not going to be tolerated at the Olympics. So.
Where is the Japanese secret police or whatever the hell.
Seriously.
It is. I mean, come on. Japanese, you know how to do it.
Yeah, no.
Get her out. Throw her out of the country.
Yeah, another thing, too, with the, I don't know if you watched any Olympic, but all these guys, they go up in the metal, the podiums, guys, girls, they're wearing these masks on the podiums. You know, I was thinking the other night, is that how you want to look back on pictures and remember, you know, your Olympic experience is with these masks on?
You know, yeah, exactly right. It's horrible. It's just tragic. But in Japan, they don't have the vaccine. So these countries without the vaccine are suffering. We have the vaccine. England has the vaccine. And that's pretty much it. I guess Canada has it as well, maybe, because, well, they're part of the English Commonwealth. I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but President Trump and Operation Warp Speed saved the hell out of us. And speaking of which, Joe Biden, he's like, oh, these people don't take the vaccine. They're not very smart people. You know who he's calling stupid? He's calling stupid a whole minority, a specific demographic, black people. 36% are only 36% are vaccinated. Hmm. Latinos, not much better.
Yeah, you were going to – Latinos, I see these – it's almost like I'm getting sick and tired of these commercials from whoever this New York City health guy is on TV. It's like, get the vaccine, and it's like they're trying to convince you. But he does point out that you can get the vaccine for free and your immigration status will not be looked into either when they're going to get the vaccine. So,
don't you need identification?
Apparently not. I'm telling you, these commercials, these like PSAs or whatever, they're saying, you know, come in and it's free. We're not going to ask you about your immigration status.
Oh, a different standard.
So,
huh?
But they clearly know that there's a demographic that is not getting it.
And meanwhile, they're going to, like I mentioned, de Blasio today, Biden and all these people, you know, they want you to wear masks indoors, outdoors. The Canadian border is closed. Vaccinated people can't come down from Canada, which is going to hurt tourism in upper New York State. A lot of Canucks come down, apparently, and take advantage of that beautiful land. It is gorgeous.
Yeah. And I just real quick, on it, as we're talking about Canada, the Toronto Blue Jays are finally back playing in Toronto. Question that I have, though, is what's the deal going to be when all the other American teams come there to play, you know, because eventually something, you know, they clearly were way more conservative with their mandates and whatnot because they just really just reopened now. So it'll be interesting, Canada.
Very interesting. I'm watching a shiny object. The CNN is interviewing Randy Weingarten, this monster, Weingarten. She's almost as bad as Dr. Fauci and Governor Cuomo. She really is a cruel, selfish, evil person. She says now that they're going to try to open schools. After all that the kids have been through, they're going to try. You're going to try to open school? Well, it turns out, I looked her up, she has no kids.
How dare you?
She's never had any kids, so clearly she doesn't have the empathy needed. Maybe it's not so clear. Maybe some people without kids have the empathy. She does not.
You have stolen my dreams.
No, it's no joke. Kids committing suicide, turning to drugs, all this stuff. And she's going to make them wear masks, and she's going to try to keep some schools closed. She puts the adults over the kids. That's not how we do in this country. I mean, these teachers' reputations have taken a big hit because of her. And I don't hear these teachers speaking up either. Enough. I don't hear enough teachers speaking out. Also, regarding masks, remember Nancy Pelosi called Kevin McCarthy, who is the top Republican in the House. She called him a moron because he didn't want to wear a mask. She didn't want to follow her mask mandate. And, well, he said over the weekend that he'd like to hit her with the gavel or something like that. Either way, it's a big to-do down there in D.C. over the mask. Pelosi photographed in the House asking if she could take her mask off, and then taking it off, taking pictures with people. The mayor,
how dare you?
Mayor Bowser, same thing, all over the place, partying, yucking it up, whooping it up without a mask. Meanwhile, she's implementing a mask mandate. And then on the Sunday shows, Fox News Sunday, they played these two congresspeople. One of them was McCarthy. The other was, his name is Tim Ryan. He ran for president. He's a loudmouth congressman. He's a lightweight guy. Anyway, these are the two clips that the Fox News Sunday played regarding the old kerfuffle over the mask mandates in the House. By the way, they don't use it in the Senate. But anyway, listen.
I don't know. The gentleman over there is going to run for the Senate. Maybe he wants to do that so he doesn't have to wear a mask.
The top doctor for Congress asks us to put on masks when we come to a chamber with 435 people. And I just find it absolutely immature and appalling to somehow diminish it to try to score cheap political points.
Speaking of exactly what he's doing there, but the point is the Fox News Sunday chose to run those two clips. Now, that was a strong clip if you're advocating for the side of pro-masks to play Tim Ryan. But what they could have done at Fox News Sunday is be fair and balanced, as they proclaim to be, and played a strong clip from the other side. This guy, Texas Representative Chip Roy, play this one, not the one that you just heard, Kevin McCarthy, that weak-ass statement. Listen to Chip Roy.
And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house? While we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it.
And that's why Fox News is fake news, except for certain shows. It is just another, another line of succession.
Fake news.
Yeah. And by the way, he's banned from fake news. They don't play President Trump. They don't report on anything he does.
Ay.
None of that stuff. Speaking of which, again, I mentioned many times early on the southern. How dare you leave the Canadian border, lock up the Canadian border?
How dare you?
And leave the southern border wide open, and then ask us vaccinated people to wear masks to protect who? To protect the people who decided not to get the vaccination? They knew what they were doing. Let them go get vaccinated. And by the way, the rates of vaccination have increased wildly over the past week. And the science that the CDC is using, we spoke to Rich Lowry earlier, they're using some study from Provincetown, Massachusetts, this gay enclave. I mean, it's not representative at all of the American people.
No.
As Lowry pointed out, it's a bunch of gay guys making out with each other. So that, and they used the one other study they used, and the Washington Post, of all places, pointed out their flimsy data on implementing these new mask mandates, which is, they used a study from India, which sampled 100 people who took the AstraZeneca vaccine. That vaccine is not in use in the United States. It doesn't apply to us. No. That's what they're basing these new guidelines on. They're completely upside down. They're wrong. They're confused. Bill O'Reilly has a great column out. It's called Masking the Truth. I'm telling you, folks, it really is. It shows how screwed up the Biden administration is. Masking the Truth by Bill O'Reilly at BillO'Reilly.com. And the final word, I'll give it to this guy, Mark Thiessen, because I can say it a million times, and Sid can as well. I mean, the whole pandemic is over. The New York Post pointed out the stats, how infinitesimally small deaths and hospitalizations are for vaccinated people. And those unvaccinated, well, you know what, you take your chances or you get vaccinated, whatever you want to do. It's a free country. But anyway, Mark Thiessen, this guy, he writes for the Washington Post. He happens to be a conservative, but this is what he said.
The message from the White House and from the federal government ought to be, if you are vaccinated, for you, the pandemic is over. There have been 164 million Americans who have been fully vaccinated, and less than 1,000 of those have died of COVID. You are more likely to die from a lightning strike, a dog attack, drowning, a bee sting, or even seasonal flu than you are to die of COVID-19 if you are vaccinated. And the unvaccinated pose no risk to the vaccinated. So the idea that we all have to run around wearing masks and going back to COVID restrictions is absurd. What the vaccines have done is that they have taken this mortal threat and turned it into a threat no more dangerous than the common cold. But our battle has never been against the common cold. It's been against mass death, and mass death is over.
Amen. I wonder where gunshots come in with that lightning strike and bee stings. I wonder if that...
Right there.
Right up there, right?
Right up there. We got Beat Bernie coming your way at 9:40. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Plus, the phones will be open later on this hour as well. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. A very, very fiery Monday edition of Bernie and Sid continues right after this.
Make America great again.
You got something for me.
What a warning for Peter King.
Something I mean, you call love.
He and his lovely wife left North Carolina hours and hours ago. I think they're outside of the state. I'm not exactly sure where they are on their drive home. But, you know, in Yiddish, Jewish people, when our children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren do something really special and we're there to witness it or not, we call it nachas, not nachos, nachas. Well, Peter King and his wife experienced that in a big way this weekend. His grandson, Jack, and his baseball team, the Dirtbags, won a big, big game, won a tournament. Jack had a home run, a big home run to get it done. And if that's not enough, his granddaughter, Katie May, was in a horse show not far from Charlotte, North Carolina, in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. Danielle's familiar with both. So he comes off an unbelievable weekend with the grandkids, and here he is driving somewhere back north, the great congressman, our dear friend Peter King. Peter, what a weekend for you and your wife. My God, how great was that?
It was really great. It was terrific. Also, I know you're worried about where I am. I'm right now in Dinwiddie, Virginia. We're passing through it. I'm not kidding. It's the name of the place. And I have 427 miles to go before I'm back in civilization. So.
That's great. But in all seriousness, the pictures you sent to me and Bernie of your grandson and your granddaughter look great on the horse in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. But my favorite picture was the one you sent me yesterday morning of you on a horse many, many years ago. And your quote was, "I don't think this one made it to Blowing Rock, North Carolina," which led to a very funny conversation about Marlon Brando on the waterfront and you being a contender. That was very funny stuff.
So, yeah, listen, it was a great weekend down there. I've been down there with my grandchildren. I was just happy to see them and hope they'd be competitive. The fact that they did so well really added to it. I was nervous yesterday because Jackie, you hit a home run in the first game on Friday, and then on Saturday, because he's a pitcher, he only was in the game for, you know, for a brief period of time. Yesterday, in the semifinal, they were losing in the final inning. He came in a relief to hold that, and then they tied it in the bottom of the inning, and he came in and he won the game by basically knocking out the whole side in the an extra inning. So he was hitless in the extra innings. He got the save. Then they brought him back in the championship game, again, to relieve. There were two men on base and nobody out. He got out of the inning.
Wow.
He got a little tired. The next thing, they took him out. Anyway, they won the championship. He's healthy. He's happy. I'm doing fine. But as far as my career, and my granddaughter did very well in the horse tournament. But I sent you a picture. The only time in my life I was ever on a horse was on the corner of 45th Street and Queens Boulevard outside Sunnyside Garden. I was about 4 years old. And your parents, I guess, they pick you up, they plop you on the horse, you give the guy a buck, and you get the picture. And that was the last time I was ever on a horse. And maybe I could have been a contender, as you were saying. I could have been a star, but instead I ended up in Congress. So I ended up, you know, the other end of the horse.
You don't feel the urge to stop by D.C. and just, you know, say hello to old friends, do you? Oh, by the way, they probably fled the town anyway, but you don't have that urge, do you, Congressman King?
No, I'm a happy guy. I'll be driving through Washington. I'll wave as I go by. Listen, I had great memories there. I was able to get things done. I was able to work with some good people. But it's time to go. And what's going on now makes absolutely no sense down there. I mean, this is so out of control, so out of whack. The fact that we're even right now, they're talking about bringing back the masks. And Nancy Pelosi hasn't worn a mask on the House floor. Inflation is going wild. The immigration is going totally out of control at the border. And this in New York, you know, Bernie said, going back over the years, even when crime was rampant in New York, you never saw these big gun battles and people going up and down the street just shooting each other. I mean, this is in New York, Chicago. It's a national epidemic. And thank God you had Joe Esposito on. So he is a true New York hero. He is vintage New York. And that's the kind of style you need. Somebody's going to really, you know, kick ass. And rather than asking a guy not to use his gun, you got to shoot first. I mean, this is
right.
And I'm not saying cops that defend us, if they can't defend themselves, they can't defend us.
Hey, you know, Congressman King, have you ever heard of this? He's a young guy, Nassau County legislator. His name is Josh LaFazan. He's one of the youngest politicians ever to be voted into office ever. Anyway, the Nassau County legislator is going to vote today on a bill that would allow cops to sue protesters who assault them. And this guy introduced it, and I say good for him. He wants to make police a protected class along the lines of certain races, religions, and even veterans, which are considered a protected class. What do you think of that?
Yeah, at first, I think it's great. I don't know him personally. I think he's either a Democrat or an independent. He's not a Republican.
Independent.
I know that.
He's an independent.
Yeah. And he's introducing this. And first of all, it's great that he's introduced it. It makes sense. But what's even better than that is the liberals and the progressive groups are going nuts. The civil rights groups are saying that somehow it's anti-black. The LGBTQ groups are saying somehow it's anti-gay, that this is repressive. You talk about guys being able to dish it out and not be able to take it. I mean, they are suing cops. They are tying the hands of cops. They're throwing bricks at cops. They're doing everything else, spitting in the face of cops, call them racial epithets, everything you can imagine. And now when the cops are given the same rights as the criminals and the demonstrators and the rioters, somehow that's considered to be unjust. So this is great. I would vote for that in a minute if I would. And I give the guy credit. He's not a Republican. Thank God he had the guts and the initiative to do this.
Yeah.
And it really sets the tone for this whole debate. We should be on offense, not on defense.
Well, one thing about you, Peter, over the years, you've shown you've been able to work with folks from on the other aisle. And I think that's so important. And most folks can't do that. Maybe that's why you lasted four decades and distinguished yourself as one of the great politicians in the history of our state, because you can do that. In fact, this is evidenced by your Instagram page. Because when I go to @PeteKing, which, you know, I go to every day, the last picture you posted 4 days ago, you and Eric Adams, Democrat nominee for mayor. So I guess.
Yeah, listen, I've endorsed Curtis Sliwa. He's a great guy. But I think of all the Democrats, Eric Adams ran the best campaign. He's saying all the right things. And I think when he says the right things, we should give him credit for it. Then hold him to it if and when he's elected. But again, I think it's really great to me in New York, at a time when we're supposed to be the base of, you know, progressive politics, left-wing politics, that our two nominees for mayor are both running on the fact of being pro-cop. And again, I know Eric Adams has had a mixed record in the past, but I've also spoken to some of the really hardline cops, and they tell me they feel they can work with Eric Adams if he does get in. They'd love to see Curtis get in. But unlike some of those others who are running the Democratic primary, what a lineup of wackos that were. Eric Adams, I think they feel they can work with him. And if not, he's going to have to account for it. But right now, he's the best hope on the Democratic side.
Yeah, and lastly, briefly, Congressman King, regarding working with people on the other side, these days, I think it's different. I think the other side has totally lost it. In fact, the moderates are afraid of the radicals. Because if they do work with the other side, the radicals call them traitors, racists, whatever it is. So there is no bipartisanship really going on these days down in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it really is hard to find it. I mean, you know, the guys like Joe Lieberman are long gone, unfortunately, and you need people like that. Joe Manchin was the guy that you can work with. He's under extraordinary pressure, though, from the Democrats. No, you're considered a traitor. I mean, I've had Democratic members of Congress tell me that when they signed on a bill with me or did a news conference with me, they got attacked terribly by their base for it. So, no, these Democrats, when they say they want to reach out, and Joe Biden, who at one time was, at least he liked to play the role of being a bipartisan guy, they are going so hard-nosed, so blindly partisan. The good part of it is I'm confident they're going to lose the Congress in 2022. The bad part of it is the damage they're doing to the country in the meantime. By the way, just so you guys will know, I don't want people to say you got a speeding ticket or a ticket for driving. My wife has been doing all the driving since 5:30 this morning. Rosemary's driving. I've been preparing for this interview with you guys because I know how tough you can be. So I told her that she's really serving the WABC by driving.
Well,
doing it for John Cassavetes.
Not surprised. Rosemary's a team player, too. You're both lovely, Peter and Rosemary King. And congratulations again to your grandchildren, Jack and Katie May, on their big North Carolina weekend. Get home safely. And as always, it's great to talk to you, Peter and Rosemary. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
And go take the wheel,
thank
too.
Thank you. See you soon. I'll take the wheel. Okay.
All right, Congressman King.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
It is time to beat Bernie. Very exciting. Philip is a retired truck driver, South Setauket. Phil, good morning, brother. What's going on?
What's happening, man? How are you, brother?
I'm good. You good?
I'm great. I'm as ready as I'm going to be. If I get two right, I'll be happy. Three, I'll be ecstatic. But you know what? It's wild because I was looking. I say, ah, let me look at the presidents. I realized Garfield was the shortest lived president. He was born on the 19th, and he was assassinated on the 19th in Jersey. But it's just one of those things I'm inspired to, like, learn more.
Okay, good. So let's see how you do here today. So, all right, here we go. What do you do, by the way? You've been retired for over a decade. What do you do every day besides read about presidential history?
Well, I go to the beach, my friend. I go to the beach. I ride my bike.
Nice.
I mean, I've tried to get my license back, and all New York State's done is throwing financial obstacles in my way. And you know what? Screw them. Choke on your license. I get the bus service, and that's it.
I love what I'm hearing.
I've done everything I could. You
screw them, Phil. So, F them, Phil. Don't worry about it. Here's number one,
right.
Phil. What vegetable takes its name from the capital of Belgium?
Capital of Belgium.
Yes, what vegetable? You know the vegetable.
Well, I know vegetables. Oh, shit.
All right, yeah, no good. The answer is Brussels sprouts. Brussels is the capital of Belgium. Brussels.
Oh, Brussels.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All right, number two.
Okay.
Stop saying you can't curse, Phil. You said the S word twice already.
I'm sorry.
This is not the Howard Stern show. Number two, in December of 2000, we are governed by the FCC. In December of 2020, 91-year-old Britt Margaret Keenan became the first person in the world to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. The second person to receive the vaccine was also a Brit who shared a name with a very famous English playwright. What was his name?
Let's see, not Shakespeare.
Why not Shakespeare?
Shakespeare.
Damn right. His name was actually William Shakespeare.
I love it.
All right, I gave you that one.
Here's
number three. What war was referred to by New Englanders disparagingly as Mr. Madison's War?
Once again.
What war was referred to by New Englanders disparagingly as Mr. Madison's War?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
All right, we got to move on. That was the War of 1812. That's the answer there. Yellowstone Lake in Yellowstone National Park is the largest lake in what state?
Let's see.
One of the borders there, Yellowstone. Most popular one.
Let's see, Utah, Wyoming. I'll go with Wyoming.
You're correct. Yeah, you got your two right there.
Really?
So there you go. And what was the series of North Vietnamese attacks on more than 100 cities in South Vietnam during the Vietnam War that escalated and turned many Americans against the war? What was that called? Don't say the S word. I'm begging you. Say five times already.
Let's see. Vietnam. Oh, God.
Yeah, well.
Dear Lord.
Need an answer. All right, thanks, Phil. Phil got two right.
You
did a good job. The answer is the Tet Offensive. The Tet Offensive. Phil got two right.
Tet Offensive.
Yes,
okay.
That's okay. We'll put you on hold to see if Bernard fares any better.
I think that's the first time we had more. Philip cursed more than he got questions.
That's
right.
Correct. He said the S word three times and he got the two correct answers. Yes.
Yeah. I guess you just can't
be
sensitive.
Hey, listen, nobody, and you know this for a fact, Matt, no one curses more than me.
Oh, no, yeah. And you every morning for 3.5 hours, you get on a microphone and manage to not do it. So.
Bernie, you got to get three right to win today, okay, pal? Three and you win.
Okay, buddy.
All right, Bernard. Here's number one. What vegetable takes its name from the capital of Belgium?
Antwerp would be the wrong answer. It's Brussels.
No, but what's the vegetable?
Oh, the Brussels sprouts.
Yes. Bang! Well done. In December of 2020, 91-year-old Britain.
By the way, you said what capital?
I said what vegetable takes its name from the capital of Belgium.
I got to quit the drugs.
Yes, you do. In December of 2020, 91-year-old Brit Margaret Keenan became the first person in the world to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. The second person to receive the vaccine was also a Brit who shared a name with a very famous English playwright. What was his name?
And he has since passed away. His name is William Shakespeare.
Correct. Very good. He has died since. Here's number three, and here's didn't go well for this guy. What war was referred to by New Englanders disparagingly as Mr. Madison's War?
That would be the War of 1812.
Nice. You've already won today's game. See if you can go perfect. Yellowstone Lake in Yellowstone National Park is the largest lake in what state?
In Yellowstone National Park.
Yes.
I would have to say that's Wyoming.
Yes! And in your attempt to go perfect in today's win, what was the series of North Vietnamese attacks on more than 100 cities in South Vietnam during the Vietnam War that escalated and turned many Americans against the Vietnam War?
That would be the Tet Offensive.
Bang! Perfect. Great day for Bernard. Easy win. He beats Phil from Setauket by a final score of 5-2. Bernard, say hello to Phil.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm okay. Not disappointed because, again, you're really like I had called once before, not on this obviously, but I remarked on how intelligent you were, and you know, haven't read many books, but I thought I was smarter than I am. So
no, listen, it's just a matter of retaining certain facts. It's not necessarily higher IQ or anything like that. Just something that always interested me since I was a young man, and that's why I know it. That's the only reason. That's the explanation. I'm no smarter than you are, Phil.
All right, brother.
I don't know about that. Thank you, Phil. Thank you very much for playing today's game. You seem like a very, very nice man. You played well.
Yeah, thanks,
buddy. Yeah, I think you are probably smarter, though. It's my guess. I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah, much. Anyway, 1-800-848-WABC. As always, that's the number, 1-800-848-9222. We'll close it out on the phones on this sun-splashed, beautiful Monday right here on Bernie and Sid.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Wrap this bad boy up on the phones like we do most days with about 3.5 minutes to go. And we'll start in the great state of Minnesota. My cousin Norm Coleman, it's Jackie. Good morning, Jackie.
Oh, I had to thank you boys for keeping me sane through it all. We're living large and in charge and hitting every county fair we can without a mask. God love you both.
Where are you in Minnesota? St. Paul, Minneapolis?
I am in Cold Spring, Minnesota, and I do apologize. I am in the education field. However, I do have common sense.
Don't have to apologize. Well, thank you for calling in from the great state of Minnesota, that same state that, yes, voted in people like Jesse Ventura and, of course, Al Franken.
Al Franken. By the way, there
was my cousin Norm, says, you know.
On Friday, a woman in, I believe, a suburb of Minneapolis was actually beheaded in broad daylight.
I saw that.
So Minnesota, nice, not so much anymore.
Not so nice.
Especially after, George Floyd.
Well, they've also got that huge Somalian population in Minnesota. In fact, right there by the big mall, they all happen to live around there. And there's always some issues with that. So become a rough place. The days of the Fran Tarkenton Minnesota days are long gone. Tom is in Hopog. He's online, too. Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing, guys? First-time caller. So I just am getting home after doing a 24-hour shift at Rikers Island.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really calling to ask you guys, you know, please don't forget about your city correction officers. We're going through a lot right now.
Let me tell you something, Tom. Not only do we not forget about you guys, and this is the God's honest truth, but we are often asked at our awful post-show meetings, where would you guys like to do remote from? And we pick venues like the U.S. Open, restaurants. I will tell you that Rikers Island is on the list. We've even contacted folks at the prison for me and Bernie, inspired by Johnny Cash, to do a live show from Rikers Island. That's how much we love and appreciate you guys. So just so you know, we're on top of that.
I appreciate that. We're going through hell right now. I started my shift yesterday, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got out 7:30 this morning.
Oh, my God.
You know, listen, Tom, I read about it all the time, and I'm sorry I don't mention it all the time, but I see it I mean, the inmates there, you talk about disrespect for the police, disrespect for the COs. Don't call them guards, by the way. The COs, I mean, they're throwing feces at them. They're short-staffed, which is why Tom had to work a 24-hour shift.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be a CO. Nobody does, because you're essentially locked inside with these animals. And it's an awful existence. And they don't have the brass, just like the NYPD, the brass does not have the rank and files back. And these guys are they're going through hell. They're leaving in droves. That's why they're so short-staffed, because it's a horrible, horrible, tough existence. So good on you, Tom. Thanks. Somebody has to do it, and Tom does.
Gail is on Staten Island, Bernard, on line three. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, fellas. You are my coffee mates. I have a couple of points. Fox is owned by the murdering Murdochs. I say that because on election night, they called Arizona too soon, phony, and it changed the whole dynamic. And they keep a good few people on Fox because of the ratings. Otherwise, they'd be in the toilet with CNN and that rig they call the Daily Snooze.
Well, there you have it. We don't disagree. We love Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, some others we like.
Jesse Waters. Greg Gutfeld. And that,
yeah.
Dan Bongino, and that's it.
That's about it.
Judge Jeanine.
We love her.
But there are a lot of phonies, fake newsers, cowards,
yep.
And all. Neil Cavuto is probably the worst.
Jerk off. What? Hello. Anyway, that was the Monday edition of Bernie and Sid. We hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow morning for the Tuesday edition. Goodbye, Donnie. At 6:30 a.m. It's a gorgeous day today. 80 degrees, sunny, low humidity. We'll see you on the golf course in Garden City later on this afternoon. I'll be with John and later on tonight. Until tomorrow, everybody, from all of us to all of you. Peace!